Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Terry Lanier is here, too. As I promised you, Terry is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the founder of Working Solo, and somebody who's been toiling for many years with the small office, home office sector, one of the thought leaders in that part of the marketplace. And I'm glad to say she's our friend. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. And you know, in my introduction of you, Terry, you know, in some industries, that could have been, you know, that could have made you a very old person. But in the small office, home office sector, so to speak, it really has even though, as you may know, I was a teleworker for Xerox back in the 70s. I was home base as an employee way back then. And home base businesses have been around since the beginning of time. But really, the SOHO world has really only taken off in the last 10 or 15 years, hasn't it?
It's true. I've been working on my own since 1978, and you know,
started when you were six, right?
Yes, exactly. I usually say 12, but thank you for giving me the extra half decade. And back then, everybody said, "Oh, Terry, it's really too bad you can't get a real job."
A real job.
And I have charted and represented this segment of the workplace for decades now, and it's been very interesting to see how it's all exploded.
Well, you know, I was a teleworker, so to speak. I worked the territory for Xerox back in the 70s and had my own office in my home. And then in 89, I was downsized for the second time in 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what, I don't need any help screwing up my life. I can do this by myself. And so I started my own business, my consulting business in 89 from home. And even in 89, I was looked upon a little strangely by people, you know, why don't you have a real office downtown?
It's true.
But over the last 15 or 16 or 20 years or so, it's become more an acceptable part of our culture, hasn't it?
It's true, and I attribute it to several things. One definitely is the technology.
Yeah.
These days, people for just a couple thousand dollars can get a very professional home-based business presence, and people don't even know that it's home-based.
Right.
And so the technology really has fueled a lot of this, Jim.
And it makes a lot more sense. I mean, people, in fact, today, if you're home-based, in some industries, some professions, it's actually kind of hip, isn't it?
It's true. Well, that's the other thing. I think there are three things. The first is technology. The second is the general attitude. It used to be that home-based businesses or working on your own from a home-based operation really was looked down on, just as we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I've seen people, just the looks in their eyes when they say, oh, it's too bad, and then it's slowly migrated to, really, how interesting? And then
Right. Lately
it's, wow, could I do that too?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the second thing. And then I think the third thing is that, as we were talking about, there's no such thing as lifetime employment anymore.
Right.
And the workplace in general has just changed so much that people now entering the workplace understand that this is not cradle to grave anymore and that they may be jumping around quite a lot. And we have people going into self-employment, and then lately I've been seeing people go out of self-employment back into the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional workplace. So it's a really interesting phenomenon that's been happening.
But when they go back to the workplace, they very likely could be going from being a home-based business owner to being a teleworker from home.
That's true. That's one of the options.
I know a lot of people who've done that. And, you know, another thing that's very interesting, because I really think that you can't talk about SOHO, small office, home office, until you without it blending in the teleworker. I think that that's a phenomenon that has contributed to the success of home office. What do you think, small business working from home?
Oh, I definitely agree, and I think they have each given legitimacy to each other. In the beginning, corporations were very leery of actually thinking that employees would get work done. And then over the years, they've realized that, yes, the work does get done, and oftentimes teleworkers are much more productive because they're not dragged into a lot of meetings that they don't need to be in. Or
2 hours of commuting every day.
Right. Or just the general diffusion of energy and focus that can often happen in busy workplaces.
Some of the biggest companies I work with in my business, Terry, have senior executives who never show up at a headquarters office. They work from home all across the country.
It's true, but I do believe, Jim, that sometimes it's really important to have that face-to-face contact.
That dynamic, the face-to-face dynamic. I don't disagree, but at least we now have both options, and you can decide. The company can decide when is a good time and what are the right scenarios when you should have the face-to-face dynamic. What is your advice these days in the 21st century, Terry, for people who want to be home-based?
Well, first of all, I think it starts with an understanding of what you can bring to it. We'll talk first about traditional home-based and not teleworkers. Traditional home-based, I always say that people should look inside before they look outside. Figure out why you want to do this and what your strengths are. For many years, I have said that there are two independent spheres of running a successful solo business. And one of those is the passion sphere, whether you're passionate about carpentry or cooking and you want to have a catering business or you want to be a consultant or whatever that is. That's the passion sphere. But the other complementary sphere, and just as important, is the sphere of what I call the business of making a business. And many times, new solo business owners get so wrapped up in the passion sphere they don't understand the business side of it. And it really is a mix of both of those.
You know, in the previous hour, I was talking about, I was visiting with someone, Elizabeth Thornton has written a white paper on, she's an adjunct professor with Babson College. She's written a white paper on objectivity, and in the second half of the hour, I talked about objectivity with my audience, which is a lot about what you were just saying. And that, you know, you've got to blend the passion with the feet on the ground part of operating a business, don't you?
Absolutely.
I want you to comment on that some more when we come back after these messages. And Terry has a new project I want her to tell us about when we come back right after these messages. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Terry Lonnier, the founder of Working Solo.
We have to tell.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show, the archives, the articles, the newsletter, the blog, lots of stuff. Our Brain Trust members, like our good friend Terry Lonnier, she's there, and all the things she's done with us over the years. And, of course, our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, where you can find Small Business Answers Now. And those answers are contributed by our outstanding Brain Trust members. And we appreciate them very much. And we hope you'll check both of those websites out and use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. Very much like Terry Lonnier's website. Give it to us, Terry.
WorkingSolo.com.
And you have an outstanding newsletter as well, I know.
A monthly newsletter. We've been up on the web since 1995. I think we were the first really, truly focused solo entrepreneurial information site on the web, and we've kept it up over the years and have been doing the newsletter now, Originally in print form, and then, of course, we moved to email for 10 years now.
Congratulations, and well done, folks. Terry is one of the pioneers, and no question about that. And, Terry, we appreciate the commitment and the longevity that you've given to this effort. And it hasn't, I know it hasn't always been easy, but I know you feel like I do, that these small business owners are worthy of our time and our energy because they're so darn lovable, aren't they?
Well, it's true. Plus, Jim, they're not only lovable. We understand them because we've been there from the front
line. That's exactly right. We are them, aren't we?
Right. And that's truly what I feel I bring to this, is that I understand this movement from the inside out because I've been there since the late 70s. Mm-hmm. And when people say, well, small businesses should do this or should do this, it's like, no, you don't understand. That's not how we think. Yep. That's not what we value. That's not how we operate.
That's exactly right. You got a project coming up I want you to tell the audience about.
Well, it's true. I have a big project coming up in October 19th and 20th. My readers and the people who visit WorkingSolo.com have been begging me for years to come back out and do workshops. And I used to do them quite a lot. And then I'd say within the last 5 or 6 years, I haven't done very many at all. So I am launching a marketing workshop October 19th and 20th, a two-day workshop called Zoom, Z-O-O-M. And it's actually more than just about going fast. It's about that ability, Jim, that I feel is so crucial to having a successful small business, particularly a successful micro business. And I look at it as one of those, think of it as one of those Google Maps, where you can zoom in and you can look at something really, really detailed, and then you can zoom back out and see the big picture. And that ability to go from micro view to macro is really important for a small business.
That's the primary difference, I think, between a small business CEO and a big business CEO. A big business CEO can pretty much spend his life or her life at 30,000 feet.
Right.
But a small business owner has to go from the trenches to 30,000 feet and 0 to 60, so to speak, in 4.3 seconds. And that's a challenge, isn't it?
Right. And not only out, but then back in again.
Right.
So marketing, I believe, is the core to every business. So this is all about marketing. It's going to be 2 days of me and two very special guests coming in and giving essentially a brain dump as well as a very structured experience so that when people walk away with this, they will have their own personalized action plan of how to take their business to the next level.
And they can find that at WorkingSolo.com, right? They can find out how to sign up and all the information there.
Yes. Registration starts this Wednesday, August 15th. And it's going to be, again, October 19th and 20th, 2007, right in Manhattan.
Right. Well, go there. Go to WorkingSolo.com, folks, and you'll see on the right side of the page it says Zoom, and scroll down. You can find out more. You can read more about it, and you can also click on the registration. So check that out, and good luck with that, Terry, and thank you for making it available because you're right about marketing, and one of the things I've said from a million times, Terry, is that the two areas that small business owners are typically not as professional at as they need to be is human resources and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two areas that are not intuitive, and we need to be a little more professional, a little more deliberate, a little more precise about those things, and it's difficult for us, isn't it?
Well, that goes back to what we were saying before the break in terms of there being a sphere of the business of making a business, because people are very good at what they do, whatever that passion is. But this falls into that other sphere, and you're absolutely right. Those are two areas that often are overlooked.
Well, a lot of people, they like to sell, but they don't know exactly how to get things in the pipeline. You know, they realize that they have to have sales to be successful, but they don't always realize that there's a pipeline you need to develop so that the sales comes out the other end. And that's where marketing comes in, isn't it?
Yes, and many times solo entrepreneurs are very good at what they do, and they're very comfortable almost hiding behind their computer. And for them to sell, Jim, is a four-letter word.
Yeah.
They're absolutely terrified. And so in this workshop, I'm going to be sharing some tips and techniques that I've developed over the last 20 years about ways to attract business that are very natural, that don't seem to be so forced or so challenging.
I'm sure that there are going to be a heavy dose of referral language in that presentation. And I congratulate you again, and looking forward to hearing about how it turns out. WorkingSolo.com, Terry Lanier is the host of that, and our good friend. Terry, thank you for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Terry Lanier, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with Tish Williams. She's on the coast in Mississippi. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.